of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. For me, who brings our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice.
We believe Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations,
you are. flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say victorious. Nah, that wasn't good. Victorious. You know, sometimes y'all have heard me mention this. What kind of church are we? We won't be a big, or we a small church, a big church. But the Lord said, just think about a victorious church. Because see, there can be two people gathered and just get started and make a church and have two people. That's a victorious church if Christ is in the center of it. But I don't want you to see Word of Faith as a small church. I don't even want you to see it as a big church. I want you to see it as a victorious church. Because if we can see a victorious church, that means when people come in, they get victory. Amen? Because for 20 years, Dr. Price, his theme was 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What? Faith in Christ Jesus, the victorious one. See, I came right around the corner. I came from Spirit of Faith at Dr. Jim Howard. That was on Sunderland Road. Amen. But he's kind of like one of my fathers of faith. I'll go ahead and call him doctor. I think he said Dr. Gary Colstead. He's in Mooresville. Then I got to Dr. Jim Howard. They're all doctors now. My Lord, is Lord. I can go chase that doctrine too, right? Dr. Jim Howard, then Dr. Gary Price, fathers of my faith. But it all started with Jesus, which is the Word of faith. Amen. So don't let anybody fight for what's right. Amen. Now, I let a lot of things go. We hear a lot of things that whether you're at games, you're at the in line at Walmart or whatever. But when they start talking about my father and how bad he is, and that, see, my father's not bad, Father God. He's good. But when I hear people start talking about he brings all this back, I just can't be silent. I mean, that's not a time to be silent. That's a time to be heard. Because Jesus hung on that cross, and he could have said a lot of things about the sin that we committed, but he shut his mouth and became sin so that we would have a voice to let people come into that kingdom. Because he didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. He's coming again as judge. But those that put faith in him have already been judged, and we've been found judged righteously by his blood. We're going to sit at a judgment seat, but we're not going to be judged. We're going to be loved. Amen. We're going to have rewards. Those that have kept faith, kept the faith. Believe. Believers. And that's what we got to see our church as, a victorious church. Amen. See victory. Well, I saw a victory. That was Tuesday, October the 18th at the City Hall Council Chamber on 35 Cabarrus Avenue. Pastor Robert Jackson submitted a zoning map amendment application for 2.4 acres here at Word of Faith Worship Center, located at 757 Harris Street. We wanted to go from RM2, which is residential medium density, I'm just giving you the words here, to OI, which is office institutional. Boy, that sounds better, don't it? For the purpose of continuing operations as a church and enable replacement of church signage. See, that was our purpose, to where it all started. We wanted to do some maybe upgrade to our sign, but we found out we needed to be zoned different because we've been zoned residential since 1981, 79, 81, right around in there. So I had to stand before 10 council members. I didn't know. And there was two agendas that night. There was just an agenda for another building project going on. And that, there was probably maybe 8 people all together over there, because it's pretty big. It was a pretty good big commercial site. And I listened to that case, and it was about 20, 25 minutes. No opposition. Council members were asking questions. But when you come in there, you got a sign-up sheet. And I had to go sign up for me, but there's, you put an X whether you oppose or agree. And so was there any opposition? So they all sat over there, and I was just sitting over here, and this is about the same size room, maybe a little bigger, and I was the only one on that one side over there, but I just sat there. I think they thought I was against those 10 thought I was against their their zoning, because they were like looking at me, and I heard somebody say, is he the only one that's maybe opposing this? I didn't want to say anything. So when my time came up, they give you the speaker, whoever's applying for the application. I just got up there and just shared my heart for about 2 minutes, where I came from, where I'm going, where we're going as a church, and we just need to put some words on a sign so that we wouldn't. And there's a lot of things we'd like to do and say as a community. I mentioned one thing about there was two police officers watching over that meeting that night, and one of the member, the chairman there, made a distinction that, and she was promoted to sergeant, I believe. She got 2 bars. She got promoted, and he brought recognition. And I just said, one of those things on that sign is I like to bring recognition to our police force, to our EMT workers, and we wouldn't just have to get a sign and stick it in the ground and throw it away. We got one. We're looking for a sign, and we could put all kind of different messages, birthday messages, and it just went right in. So we only had 2 questions from one city council member. How long is it going to be on? How bright is it going to be? I mean, that was it. And all approved, say aye. All opposed, nay. So we got the victory. Amen. So we are now zoned office institutional. We're going to carry on the work of the Lord. But I said all that to say this. We did have an opposing letter that came in. And I read it to, I think, the board members Wednesday night. We're studying the book of Elijah. God gave him a message to go to the king. And if you continue to read on that story, God hit him by the brook because it didn't rain for 3.5 years. But Ahab's wife, Jezebel, right, sent a messenger with a note after he destroyed all those prophets of Baal, went up there and slew them, over a lot of prophets, over 200, 400, 500 prophets he killed. In other words, he challenged the God of Baal. And God showed up and he got rid of all those false prophets, killed them, and got out of there. And then old Jezebel sent a message to him. And that note said, "What you did today, all my prophets you killed today," she said, "just like you saw them, I'm going to do the same thing to you." Talking to the man of God. And that messenger with the note, he got in fear and Elijah ran for his life. What? He saw that one note and got in fear. I saw that one note and I stayed in faith. Amen. And I got my people, I got you guys to agree. No opposition showed up that night. There was opposition there in a spiritual realm, but they failed. Why? Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. And we got some things to do. So we're going to continue on. Amen. So we got victory. This is a victorious church. And I thought about it as I sat there. I said, in the natural, I felt alone if I looked around at the odds. But in the spiritual, man, there was angels in the room. There was 10 city council members, but there's angels protecting me, there to minister to me, to stand before people. God's going to send you to do the same thing. It might not be city council members, but it'll be people that are opposing the word of God. And what do? We've got the victory. They just don't understand it, but they need to get in. Amen. They need to be blessed. So that's what we're doing. We got approved. I want to let you know that. We are approved. Hallelujah. And Cindy, the letter will be in the mail. We'll file that. We are zoned, whatever we need to be zoned. And I asked the Scott who represented me, I said, "Now, when we get ready to take some bids and stuff for the sign," I said, "Now, we're going to have to go through another." He said, "You might have to through sign ordinances." So we'll just tackle that mountain as we go. We'll get what we need to do. Amen. So as we get ready to give this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Malachi, or Malachi, whichever you call it. Malachi, Malachi. That's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. I think this will bless you. I want to see, Reed could definitely bear witness. I want you to see yourself as messengers. See, Reed worked for the United States Postal Office for how many years, Reed? 15? 15 years. That ain't all he did. But when they saw Reed coming, they know he was bringing messages. Some good, depending on what it was. Some bills, that's good. I mean, at least you got the money. You got heat. But then you know what you get. You get a lot of junk mail, too. But when they saw Reed, they saw this is a messenger with the notes. Chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, I send my messenger." God is still sending messages. Amen. "And he will," now this is talking about Jesus, talking about John, "I will prepare," talking about John the Baptist, "and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly," say suddenly. Suddenly you get the victory. But you've been believing, you've been praying for it, and suddenly, there it is. "Even suddenly he will come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." We see, we got a covenant. Not everybody does. Those that are in Christ, we got a covenant. "In whom you delight, behold, he is coming." He came, and he's coming again. Amen. He is the message, and he's coming again. But until then, I mean, he's coming in the clouds. The next thing is the rapture. He's coming for the church. And the next time, the second coming, he's coming with the church. There's some more comings coming. Amen. But until then, he wants more to come into the kingdom. "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Talking about Jesus. He will purify the sons of Levi. Now, this is when Jesus came physically to the earth, was born. And he went and purged them as gold and as silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offer. See, when we give today, we're giving an offering in righteousness. In his righteousness, for his righteous work, to help the hurting, heal the wounded, set captives free. Verse 4, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, while he's a God of mercy. Amen. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? They knew. They knew what they were doing. Adam hid from God behind a tree. God knew where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to let him know, quit hiding, Adam. Come, don't run to me, not from me. Don't run from sin. Run to God. Run away from that sin. Run to God. See, God's calling. In what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And this is why they were cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes. This is our storehouse. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. See, a lot of times people wonder, why ain't God answering? God never shut the window. We did. We shut it on him. We didn't want to hear what he had to say. We shut the window. Not God. He's the door. And he wants to get in. He wants to bless us and pour out for us such a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive it. Has anybody got there yet? I'm not quite there yet, but I'm walking that way. Why? He wants us to bless others. And I will rebuke the devourer. The devourer was the insects and the pests that would come and eat the crop, that they wouldn't have a harvest. See, we don't have to so much. When we think about the devil, the Bible says submit to God, resist the devil. That means actively fight against. God's not going to fight the devil for us. He gave us his word. He gave us Jesus. We've got to submit and resist the devil, actively fight against him in the name of Jesus. See, this Old Testament, Jesus came. Now, also remember, we're not under a curse. Even if you don't give, you're not under the curse, because Jesus became a curse. That doesn't mean you don't need to give. That just means he has redeemed us from that curse. See, a lot of people will blame somebody. Well, you know why you're not being blessed. You know why you got this cancer is because you didn't bring your tithes and offerings. Now, that's a lie. God's not judging us. He judged Jesus. See, Jesus became that curse. Come on. We got to love one another. And when you fall in love with God, you'll learn, you become a giver. And he says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. God is he's out to bless us. I like to say, when you give your tithe, it's like now you make place for God. But then when your offerings above that, when you bring the offerings, that's your seed. Say seed. That comes back 30, 60, 100, even 1,000-fold. And there's no condemnation here. I'm telling you, when we got born again, we was in so much debt, we didn't give the 10%. We couldn't see to give it. We couldn't see to give it because I couldn't see yet. But now we can see that we got to give more than the 10, because that's what the law required. Amen. But we're not under law, you're under grace. Amen. And you have freedom. See, the law is just there for a standard. It's just there for a tenth. Amen. That's good news. Lord, we love you today. And we thank you for setting us free from the law. Because Jesus, you became a curse for us and set us free. We can come in here today, Lord, and have victory in our finances, in our lives, Lord, because our main thing is we're gonna keep you first. That when you speak, we answer, Lord. When you say do this, we'll do it, Lord. And we give you the praise for it and thank you for it. Let's stand together. Let's get our confession. I believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth that Jesus was Lord, and I got born again. That's the same way you do anything. You give God some seed. You're God's garden. He planted, when you get born again, he planted Jesus in you. Amen? And that never brings forth a bad crop. Jesus is always expanding. So, Father God, we thank you today that according to your word in Deuteronomy 6, 10 and 11, and Malachi 3, what we just learned, Lord, that we're getting blessed. We're getting our lands and our places of employment. All of our debts are being eliminated, and we'll owe no man nothing but to love one another. Today we claim our great and goodly cities and all of our houses full of good things, our vehicles and all the equipment and signage and people that we need to preach and teach the word of faith to the world, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. You're prepared. Bring your tithes and offerings and worship the Lord.
River runs through me. Oh, Holy Spirit.
today, Lord. We just thank you, Father God, as we give today as a church, Father God, we're giving unto the blessing of the Lord, that, Lord, you brought Jesus to the earth, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father God, as you brought Jesus and sowed him into the earth, Father God, and then raised him on the third day, you raised him, Lord. As we sow our offerings today, Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing the increase. Say increase. Increase. Bringing our increase, Lord, because it's not by what we do, but it's by what Jesus did. Amen. And Jesus is in heaven, and he's looking for a harvest, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We're believing for that harvest and those suddenly, Lord, those breakthroughs in our life and these financial breakthroughs, Lord, to take place in the name of Jesus. Lord, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for your righteous people. To get it in the hands of those, Father God, that will fight for the righteousness in this nation, in this world. And we thank you, Father God, right now. We break the power of the devil right now that's been trying to hinder God's work. And we call God's work to come to pass quickly in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for filling my mouth with good things. Our mouths with good things. Oh, Lord. I say that's what one of the main purposes of the Holy Ghost is what? To help us hold our tongue. Come on. That flesh tongue that wants to immediately what? Strike. Just like that snake. Come on. That's what that snake did, just to strike with that tongue. But what we got to do, we got to cut his head off. We got to cut that. Don't grab that snake by the tail. Cut his head off. You grab him by the tail, he coming after you some way. Cut that head off. Cut that thing off. Cut that strife off. Cut it off right there in the name of Jesus. Submit to God. Resist. That means you got to fight against an argument. You got to fight against the stock market plummeting. You got to fight. No, no, no. I got seed that's going to grow. Amen. Talk about we got seed in the kingdom. We got seed. We got Christ. If we're in Christ, we're a new creation. We don't go by the Babylonian system. We go by God's economic system. Amen. That we're givers. We believe, we give, we sow, and we reap. Amen. That's a part of the kingdom is reaping. Amen. Don't leave that part out. God expects us to reap a harvest to go sow some more seed in the ground. When Jesus was sowed as a seed, he brought forth Christians, Christianity. When he came, when he rose from the dead, he said, now all authority, Jesus got it all. He got the keys. He said, now all authority is given to me. That's in Matthew. That's in the Gospels. Now, commissioned us, the church. Now you go and you make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the Trinity. This was Church of the Trinity. You know that before it was Word of Faith. Amen. It's got the foundation, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's all built on the rock of Jesus Christ. So we are destined for victory. Not just this church, but you and your lives and your families. Amen. Amen. The devil's a liar. Now, Kelsey, you're going to have to help me. I know I didn't send you no papers, but I got one of them good Bibles. I didn't look at where I'm going to be reading from. It's one of those good Bibles that got tore out. So I know the words in my heart, but I want to make sure I read it verse for verse. So if you'll get to the book of John, hallelujah. It's good to read. Tell me, sometimes it's good to have one or two or three Bibles, right? But we got some good help. But John 1, we're going to be in verses 1 through 4, and we're going to be talking about the seed. Angel's going to bring the message. The fifth Sunday, Angel's going to be mentioned for us next Sunday. So I don't know. We'll just start with the seed, and we'll see how it grows, Wayne. Amen. Does anybody remember this take? I graduated from Brawley Middle School. That's on Brawley School Road, and it don't look the same, Carrie, as it used to in 1960. I was born in 66, so you go figure 5 or 6 years there. I was in, this was probably second and third grade. No, I might have been. That was back when we had chocolate milk was the big delicacy. I love chocolate milk. You know, you get them in the, what's that, pint, half pint? Half pint. Well, I had to have at least four of them. You know, Mama gave me a nickel. I think that's when milk was a nickel. I said, Mama, give me 20 cents. I need some milk. I need some chocolate milk. That was my favorite. And you get done with those milk cartons, and your teacher, you'd clean them out, wash them out, cut the top off. And one time we put some soil in there, and we take some seed. And mine was a watermelon seed. Why? I liked its kind. And I took my watermelon seed, and that's back, we had radiator heat. Didn't have, and I'm sure schools probably still have them, but that's the one, you know, you set your butt on. Oh, that thing's radiating some heat. Plenty of crayons were over there, got melted by the heat. I remember, I can see them now. You know, they smelled bad when them crayons hit those radiators. But we'd set them up in there. We'd put that seed, put the soil, put the seed in there, and put it in front of the windowsill. And we had tall windows. It's probably tall, you know, just tall windows. And that sun would come by, and they had some blinds and stuff. And we would watch it grow. You know, every time as we would, see, that's what you need. And Dr. Howard always told me, if you were a teacher, it's good to have props. Those phonics, remember phonics? You say something and you see something and you connect it. You connect the dots. So that's good. That's what Jesus would do. He was the greatest teacher. Jesus is the greatest teacher. And he gave himself. He gave us the Holy Ghost, who is the teacher of the church. So when you read the word, it'll paint a picture. Amen. It'll paint a picture in your life. You remember the saying, a picture paints 1,000 words? God said to me, but my word paints the picture. See, if you don't have the word, you don't have a vision. See, that artist, he's got a vision. He paints something, but he's seen something. Now, he might be physically looking something and paint it, but that ain't a vision. That's a replica. You know what I mean? In other words, he's seeing it to paint it. God's word, you got to see it with your heart, and then you paint it with your life. I ain't never heard that before. We got a grandfather clock in this church now. Hey, it's all right. Sounded pretty good. John 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You're like, Pastor, I've heard this before. Keep on reading. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Sounds kind of wordy, don't it? Word, made, things that were made, just keep reading. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Without God, you're in darkness. You're in darkness. We've all been in darkness. We've all been there before we got born again. We were in darkness. It's not light we couldn't see with our physical eyes. We could see, but we're always falling short somewhere. We're stumbling on something. Somebody says, well, once you get born again, they say, well, you're stumbling in the dark. I didn't understand darkness back then. I didn't understand God back then. You can't without the seed. The seed has the life that brings forth understanding. God's teaching me this as I'm speaking it, Randy. That's the Holy Ghost. See, I'm not a somebody help me with the soil. What's that called? Somebody that studies the soil. Biologist? Botanist? See, help me here. See, I'm not that. I don't understand all that, but I got the greater one on the inside that will teach me. See, because he created all things. They were made by him and through him. But don't forget the teachers. Agriculture. See, and I didn't take agriculture. I took bricklaying. Ain't laid many brick in my life. I was just filling in space, Reed. Why, Kerry? I knew if you take brick mason, you hit, I'm trying to remember his name. Baby Patterson, that was his nickname at school. He's gone on to be with the Lord. You get Baby Patterson. He's kind of like, he takes a lot of stuff. He loves kids. And you get to ride in the back of the brick mason truck, one of them big like a U-Haul truck, and you go ride, and you get in the back of that truck, and he take you go work on something around there in Troutman. It was getting out of school. It was getting off the school campus. I heard about Baby Patterson's class. I wasn't going to be no brick mason. That's hard work. If anybody's done it, I know some people. It'll strengthen your back, and you'll know you got a back. You'll feel it every day. But the main thing was, what was the main thing, Wayne? We're getting there. The seed. It has life in it. Everything that God said, he spoke life. Everything he did. Now, I'm going to break this down just a little bit. You might want to make some notes. In the beginning was the Word. Let's go back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Logos, written word. I'm breaking it down in the Hebrew. In the beginning was the written word. And the written word was with Theos, God, deity. See, theology is the study of God, not the gods, gods, God. God Almighty, Jehovah. Now, this is what we teach here at this church. You might find other churches, they teach an all kind of God. We teach them about Jehovah, the self-sufficient one. There's only one in three persons. See, in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with the Theos, and the Logos was Theos. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of the world. See, Theos, Jesus is the Word of God. John 1:14 for me, Kelsey. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was made, God took on a human body and walked with us and talked with us, grew with us. Jesus grew in grace and truth. He grew. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was what was in the seed, Terry. Grace and truth was in the seed, was in the Word. Amen? John 5:7. Still in the book of John, talking about Theos, God. John 5:7. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down." Did I get the right one? John 1:1. Well, take me on over to Revelation, verses 19-13. Revelation 19:13. What? That's the beginning? Come on, and that's the end. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. He never changes. Amen. When we come again with him, and this is getting ready to set up his millennial reign. When he comes that second time and we're coming with him, guys, we're not going to fight. We're just coming with him. Bible talks about he's going to destroy all the ungodly with the word of his mouth. The word. Cause what? The word is life. And the word is light. And darkness has to flee. Darkness cannot cohabit with light. Amen. Death cannot cohabit with life. Once you get born again, we go from death unto life. And that life is the Word of God. It's where everything came from. Even those that are rejecting God came from the seed. They came from God, but they are rejecting God. They've been, because of Adam, because of sin, they got blinded. They were brought into the darkness. But that's why Christ came, to bring light. Amen. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is not a created being. He is God. Like Pastor Jim taught, before he came to the earth, he's the Word in heaven. He's the Word. They bear witness. Amen. The blood and the water and the Spirit bear witness here on earth. That's true. They're the same. I want to go somewhere different. I got to stick right here a minute, Reed. Jesus is God who created all other beings. The devil, Lucifer, was created by Jesus. They're not brothers. Lucifer was a created being. He's an angel. He fell. Jesus said, "I saw him fall from lightning as heaven." Jesus saw, see, I saw him. We can't see the devil with these eyes. We can't see Lucifer. We can't see angels, but they're here. Amen. Because there's another realm that we fell from in the beginning. See, Adam and Eve, they fell. They fell from that the realm that they could see by faith. They fail. But when we get born again, we got our ears and we've got our sight back. That's why we don't walk by what we see. We walk by what we believe. And we believe it by here, by the Logos, by the written word. And then the Holy Ghost comes in and he brings revelation that we can see it, Tammy. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. That's coming from the seed. That watermelon is the fruit. It's not the seed. That watermelon doesn't work to produce itself. It comes from the seed. It came from God. That watermelon, it gets planted in the ground. It's supposed to produce. As long as everything works, it has water, it has sunlight. Well, see, God had all that. We didn't have rain. It came up from underneath the earth. All that was natural. It was, we'll get there. Jesus is God who created all other beings. The Greek word used here for God is theos. And it denotes deity as an object of worship. Says when we worship God this morning, Darlene, we were worshiping the Creator. We can't see him, yet we worship him. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, once you get born again, he bears witness with my spirit that there's a God out here that I came from. Not only did I came from, I'm going back to him one day. Actually, he's coming back to us. Come on. When the trumpet sounds, we're going up, but then we're coming back. After all that 7-year tribulation, we're coming back, and Jesus is going to rule and reign on this earth, and we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. The devil's going to be chained up. That old dragon, that old serpent, the devil's going to be chained up for 1,000 years. And I told you about a dog. You chain up a dog that's free, chain him up. He's going to get, you think, well, the devil's going to get, he's finally going to repent. No, he ain't. When he gets loose, he comes back with a rage. But we know his destiny. It's hell. And he wants to take as many of God's beings, created beings, he wants to take as many with him as he can. Because he is not a God. But he's trying to deceive others that he is. And bring as many people with him because he knows his end. And he wants to end as many other people as he can. Why? Because he hates God. And he never will. He never will change. Jesus said there's no truth, there's no life in Lucifer, no more. He was a wonderful angel, beautiful angel, created being. God talked about how beautiful he was. All these diamonds and rubies and all these things, it was in him. It was in Lucifer. God put him in him. So now we wonder why some like why Jesus would say it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Why? Because it's in the devil. He was created. He's got, you can look at him and he was beautiful to look at him. But he fell. He got lifted up in all that beauty. He got lifted up. It said pride was found in Lucifer. And we know what happens when the covenant changes, the name changes. So he went from glory to destruction. It talked about how he walked in the brimstone. He walked in the fires. Talking about Lucifer. Now that's going to be his destiny. It's going to be turned into a lake of fire for his destruction. See, what he was trying to become, he will become. See, that's his domain. Hailstone, fire and hailstone, the devil. That's his future. And he's taking as many people with him, separated from God forever. Darkness. See, that's darkness. It's not like we see with our eyes. It's a separation from God, from his voice, from his love. That's death. That's the death. That's the second death. Spiritual death is to be separated from life. Everybody's going to exist. That's not death. Dying in this body, that's not death. Death is, that's existing. I'm not here just to exist. Everybody's going to exist somewhere after you die, either with God or separated from him. That's death, spiritual death. So see, the Word and the Word, there's Jesus, the Word, and God, the Father, deity. They're the same. See, Jesus is the Word of God. Here's the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. Word was God. And the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word of God. The Greek word there is Logos. And denotes, I like this. Jesus, he is the expression of thought. Not the mere name of an object. Jesus totally expressed the thoughts of the Father. Man, that's the Logos. And was manifest in a physical form so all the world could read them, could understand him, to have relationship with the word. Hebrews 1:3, if you just get to Hebrews, Kelsey, we're going to kind of be there. Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus was and is the brightness of his glory. Brightness. See, when we think about God, we always got to think about light and bright. You know, I got a call, Light Bright. That's actually the name of the company there about design. So God, when you think about God, think of light and bright. So maybe, I think they're going to give us probably a real good price. It was through that gentleman that I talked to that really told me, he actually went a little bit deeper and found out that he wanted to make sure that we met the zoning requirements before we got a bid and got started on the sign. And I thank God he did, because through that we had to find out, we had to get the land resurveyed, we had to put an application in to get rezoned. Had we just went ahead and started construction, man, we could have been fined. Amen. So see, God is helping us. God is helping us. He's looking after. He's a good steward of what we do with our money and finances. Amen. So he sends us the right people. Not saying the other company, they just didn't, I guess maybe they just went and thought that we were zoned. You know, we've been here over 30 years. You would think, well, they're, but God, the word. So Jesus is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. It is also appropriate for Jesus to be called the word of God, because the physical body of Jesus, come on, think about this. It kind of gets a little deep. Jesus' physical body was produced by God's spoken word. The word became the word. Ain't that awesome? Not the usual means of a physical relationship when the man and the woman, she has the egg, we have the seed. But see, it all came from God. The whole plan is his. So what I want you to do today, just kind of blank the screen now, Kelsey, because I want to give everybody a vision. I didn't give this to you. Oh, it's blank back here, ain't it? See, I got two visions. Y'all help me. Everybody turn around. See, you're seeing what I see. See there, so give your pastor some grace now. Say, when I say, I'm still seeing something. See, two visions, that's called division. And see, that's called a distraction. If you get into division, you get into confusion and all these other kind of things. But see, we need to see what God sees. If you drop the D off of the word seed, what do you have? Seed. Seed. Before God spoke anything through the word Jesus, he saw it by faith. God. Theos. Before God said anything, he saw it by faith. That's God. You can't put him in a box. You can't try to figure him out, because no man shall take his glory. But he clothes us with his glory. Ain't that all? Because he loves us. He's got to be first. I'll have no other gods before me. Why? Because he's God. If he would let if he would let us sit there, we'd mess it up. Because he has the plan. Amen. He's the head. But he loves us. Even as parents, we love our kids, right? I don't give keys to Rowan when he's 12. But there might be some on a farm. Those kids can drive at 8 or 6. But you know what? Different place. You know, there's been some experience gained and some trust and experience. In other words, he knows if I give him, if he's got the key, he can do it. If you're a farmer. Because I know I was raised, I helped my buddy in the chicken farm. Y'all heard about that? And we had to drive. It was down, that farm was down the hill from their house. So we had to drive the old Ford truck down that hill to take whatever we did. And they let the kids, I mean, my buddy's brother was probably about 4 years younger, and he was shorter than us, and he could barely reach the, you know, that's when you had the big steering wheel on those Fords. I think it was an automatic, but, you know, his name was Dwayne. And he'd get down there, You know, he could barely see over the thing. He's got this foot pushed down. And he's bringing this truck down a gravel. It goes down a gravel, down a turn. You know, it's this pretty steep embankment. But he's driving that truck. Man, he come up that hill. You know, when you're on gravel, that road, and the truck would jump, you know. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Jump up in the air because it's bumpy and then hit that gravel. And here you come up that hill. You know, I'm like, Derwin, you know your brother's driving the truck. This is when I first started. Yeah, he's all right because he'd been trained. He started out on a lawnmower. But, you know, I wasn't that good at driving. But I learned. You start hanging around people that you get to drive trucks when you're little. You know, I get in there and, yeah, let me try that. What we're talking about, we're talking about the seed. Talking about the Word. And it's appropriate for Jesus to be called the Word of God because he took that physical body. And when you drop the word seed, drop that D, you see. God saw, when he spoke it, he saw it before he spoke it. Everything we see in this physical world, things, everything that we see came in spirit form that we can't see. Now, I know we've heard this, we've been taught this, but we need to hear it again because there's things that we can't see. There's things happening that we got to change before we see it. We got to start getting some seeds out there. Amen. God needs some seed to produce the garden. Everything we need is found in the seed. Everything. We can't manipulate the system. That was a beautiful field the boys were playing football on. Mooresville's got an AstroTurf. But no man can take that grass and duplicate it. You can't duplicate that seed. You can manipulate it, get in there and do all kinds of things, but you cannot generate a grass seed. Because we're not God. He created it in the beginning. Before we got here, God created everything. Now, like I said, we can manipulate it, change all kind of fertilizer in the dirt. What? We can make it grow fast. And, you know, God said, plant your seeds, plant your crops. On the seventh year, let it rest. Leave it alone. Don't plant nothing. That means the sixth year, you're going to grow double because God said, you got to let the land rest. It's working. It's growing seed. But God says it's got to rest. Do you like to rest on a day of a week? We get tired. Our body, we got to rest. Well, they didn't let it rest. See, now what we do, we've made fertilizer. See, we've manipulated God's plan. And we grow our stuff. Somebody was giving a testimony about this, and I don't know who it was, that they had an old historic house that they bought. And they were remodeling it. And it had a carport. This house was like 200 years old. They were remodeling, and they tore down the old carport. They were going to rebuild it, but it was kind of taking a while because of the material, whatever's going on. So this lady, instead of waiting, some good old black dirt, she planted her some tomatoes out there. While this carport, before they dug up the ground, they've done all they need to do, but haven't poured concrete. She said them tomato plants sprung up out of the ground, big old tomatoes, red and juicy. Said they ain't never ate a tomato plant, and tomato like, never tasted a tomato like that. Why? The ground's been resting for over 200 years. What does dirt do? What did God create it to do? A lot of things. Everything comes from the earth. The metals, the cars, everything that we have comes out of that core. But then God gives us the wisdom. That tomato, that soil had been resting. It had been listening to God. Nobody was working the earth. It was resting, Reed. And when that seed come in, you know what that earth did? We got something to do. We got seed. Man, we've been waiting for this seed. Where you been? We've been waiting for you for 200 years. Here, we got so much stuff we want to give you. And that tomato came out of there. Jackie, and that thing. I don't eat tomatoes. So I'm just taking this by faith. But see, what happens when we we don't do what God says. We got to have this land. We got to have these crops. We got to feed all kind of people. We don't do what God says, and we make fertilizer, we make all this stuff, and we manipulate what he says do, and it just don't taste like mama, three or four generations back. We want it now. Got to have it now. Put me some, what's that stuff, Carrie? We do woodwork, and we put that shiny stuff on that protects it. It's called a polyurethane. I've seen somebody take a McDonald's hamburger, wrap it up, and leave it sitting in that thing for about two or three years, and when it opened up, it kind of looks the same, like it hadn't Because it's got, they put something in there, it's called preservatives. It ain't fresh, but it looks fresh. That ain't God. You wonder why they had manna in the morning, get it, and then it disappeared? That's fresh, buddy. That's like going to the, that's going to get you some fresh okra, you know, right off the vine. Because produce is called what? It's perishable food. It's perishing. If you try to get too much, it's going to mildew. It's going to rot. Who created this system? God. Nothing wrong with canning the preservatives. That's good stuff. But not everybody's good. In these last days, there's going to be all kind of evil things going forth in the name of God, in the name of science. We got a new origin of fertilizer and seed that's going to produce. Yeah, but what is it producing? Because if you're not giving it seed, time, and harvest, if you're trying to speed up the time, what are you doing? You're manipulating God's system. You're manipulating the seed. And it's going to bring forth what's in the dirt. See, that seed's bringing, that dirt, they work together. The earth's drawing forth the life out of the seed, and that life comes out of the seed, goes into the dirt, and it comes forth. Now, if man gets in there and manipulates the dirt, what are we eating? We're eating maybe God's seed, but what have they changed? What have we manipulated and changed? But thank God we got the word, we got the promise of God that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. Amen. See, this is how we live above man's system. Now, see, we could get in fear and start looking at everything that's coming in our bodies. Nothing wrong with being frugal, being, you know what I mean? But don't get in fear. If you're born again, a Christian, we can't change that, but we can not let it change us. That we pray and bless everything that comes into our body. That if there's something bad, God is going to change it, what? To something good. Where it doesn't harm us. A lot of these sicknesses, diseases, it's not, it's from things that's been manipulated. The seed, God's seed is right. His word is right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So everything that we need, we're talking about the seed. Everything that we need, Randy, is found in the seed. The seed is the word of God, and the seed has a name. His name is Jesus. Now, that's what we call him in the English, Yahshua, Hebrew. But he's God. Amen. And God has many names. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, he's my healer. Jehovah Shalom, I got peace. See, he's many names, but he's the same. In words, if you serve him, you'll have the peace. Not the peace that the world gives, you'll have his peace. Because he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. You can have peace when the storm's going on. Why? You coming through the storm. Paul was in a storm. He was in a hurricane. But God said, Paul, you're going to Rome. There's some Romans need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about me, Paul. Now, and also, Paul was smart. And he believed the word of God. And he told them, if you read about Paul and some of his missionary journeys, when he ended up on Malta, that island out there, they were not supposed to be on that sea at that time. But they wouldn't listen to. Well, they wouldn't listen to Paul. But thank God, Paul was, if they'd went without Paul, they wouldn't be here. Them people would be dead. Because God had a covenant. He had a seed promised to Paul that you're going to Rome. And God got him there. His angels were there to protect him. Amen. Now, they lost the ship, but they didn't lose their life. Amen. And it's sad that people will get to that point in their life that they'll lose everything before they find God. God doesn't want them to lose the home. He don't want us to lose the car. He don't want you to lose your mind. Seriously, lose your mind. Fear has consequences. Fear will make, just like alcohol, will make you do stupid things. And then there's a spirit of fear. You're scared just because, why? Somebody brought that spirit to you, and you received that spirit. It was in my biggest time right now. Spirits are everywhere. This is spirit season in the world. Probably all of us know we were brought up about Halloween and told those ghost stories. Now, I'm talking about I was a kid and hearing my siblings bringing people over to the house and, come on, we'll go sit outside and go tell them ghost stories. And what I wanted, I went, why? Because I'm the little one. Now, what, I'm getting out there and it's getting dark and I'm getting scared. And then my brother wants to know why I'm over there in his bed. You know, he's older than me. Get out of my, what? You told me these stupid, scary stories. I'm scared. Now I need some help. What? He sowed a seed. They sowed a seed and it got in and it growed real fast. Fear. They were painting a vision of dark, gloomy things. And when it got dark, I'm scared. That's a spirit of fear. Didn't know why. I heard it. It was a seed. It was planted. See, the seed brings forth after its kind. Spirit of fear will bring forth after its kind. So don't bring it in. Not even just the little things. That's why we don't celebrate Halloween. We celebrate hallelujah. We celebrate God. Amen. Darkness should have no fellowship with light. Now, don't get people under condemnation. Just be a light. Just be the light. Amen. They're going to say, well, why ain't you going to the costume party? I'm like, that's the time for a testimony. Because those little things, oh, it's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. Well, then a little thing becomes a big thing. And we wonder why our child, when they're 18, 19, 20 year old, they're scared to get on a plane or they're scared to get on a train. It's because the spirit of fear manifests into Big Daddy. Cancer, Big Daddy, scared of spider, anything. It's really important, guys. These are things that we can't see in the natural that are doing damage in the natural. And we got to be like, we got to nip those things in the bud. Amen? Don't plant those seeds. Yeah, we took persecution when we got born again. I was raised different. But you know what? I had to set the example. I'm the baby of five. We just ain't going to do it. We're not going to celebrate. We're not going to. Now, Bible characters, you know, mom, my kids went to their church and but they didn't dress up in darkness. They dressed up as light. That's bringing a different seed in here. It's all turned. We got to bring Christ into this thing. Jesus didn't say don't witness to them. He just said don't go fellowship with them. Just don't. You know what I mean? Don't be afraid to knock on a Mormon's home and bring Jesus to them or Jehovah Witnesses. Don't run from them, man. Run to them with the gospel, the true gospel. Man, they need to be saved too. They've been taught wrong. We don't know their whole history. But the Holy Ghost will give us a seed to witness that could get them out of so much darkness just like that. Just like that. Amen? See, we're not out to bring a religion. We're out to bring a relationship. Bring them into a relationship with Jesus. Amen? And he always brings forth light. All right, where am I on this thing? I'm going to take you a little bit, but we're not going to finish it today. Genesis chapter 1, 10 through 13, talking about the seed. Everything we need is in that seed. It's in the promises of God. We've been in Genesis. We've been talking about going back to the basics this year. Basic Bible doctrines. Genesis 1, 10 through 13, in the beginning here, and God, this is when he's on the third day, and God called the dry land earth. There's that dirt. But where did it come from? In the beginning. It came from God. Before he spoke it, he saw it. He saw this. He saw the heavens and the earth, and he saw himself separating them, separating the seas from the land. And God even had a name for them. He named them. And God called the dry land earth. He didn't call it Mother Earth. We've talked about this before. This is earth. This is dirt. Earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God, what's that next word? He saw it was good. It was good before he saw it. Before we see it, it was good. Amen. It was good. And God said, let that earth that he created bring forth grass. I tell you what, I don't care how dry the land is. If it's been covered up with something, get it some sunlight. Tiller it up, give it some water. There's grass is coming somewhere. Because I tell you what, you can plant a garden and get all the grass seed and everything out. The birds will bring the grass in there for you. God's got carriers, messengers of his seed. Them birds are going to go somewhere. They're going to go eat something, whether it be I'm thinking all kind of seeds, mulberry seeds. I don't care. You go throw some seed in your grass. And the bird will come from the neighbor's house and go get that seed and bring it over to your your garden and plant it. It comes in the form of dung, though. You know, the bird's not dropping the seed. He's dropping the dung, which is the seeds in there. That's just God's system. That's a good way of saying it. Bird poop. Somebody needs to know. I've seen grass grow in Mooresville on some of the two-story buildings up there in the little crevices on the windowsill because a little bit of dirt got up there and a bird was up there, probably a dove, sitting there pooping. Next thing you know, grass seed. Why? Genesis 1:1. God's the same. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb, it's doing exactly what God told it to do. Herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And I'm going to give you some homework, and we'll pick this back up in November, because Angel's going to bring the message next week. Your homework is Hebrews 11, because we're talking about the seed. And I'll just give you one verse. Give me one verse, Hebrews 11:1, Kelsey. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith. Amen. This is a good one to end on. Now faith is the substance. Now faith is the seed. Amen. Faith is the seed that brings substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You are God's seed. We are his seed. We are the seed of Abraham, who is the father of our faith. Come back next week to catch. Come back in November to get the next message. See, I'm going to prime your pump here. Go invite somebody. You want to know about the seed? How are we going to succeed? When Jesus comes back to the earth, what is he looking for? Shall he find faith on his earth? We are messengers. We are carrying that faith. We are carrying that seed. Jesus was the seed, is the seed. What was the seed was planted in God's green earth. And when he came up out of that earth, resurrection power. No more would darkness, no more would darkness inhabit. When I say no more would that darkness be able to stop God's seed. Up until then, it's like darkness was prevailing. The law, it was a shadow. What's a shadow? Darkness. The law was a shadow of things to come. Jesus was that seed. Resurrection power. When Jesus came up out of the ground, the devil's day was over. He done defeated him in the center of the earth. Places we can't see, Jesus went there. There were souls down there. Abraham was down there. It's called Abraham's bosom. Jesus went there. Jesus was planted. Jesus purposed. He came to be the seed, to meet our need of God. God needs us. When he lost us, he lost us. God said, I got to get him back, Jesus. Before it even happened, God knew it. Amen. And provided the seed. He provided Jesus. And if you're listening to this message today and you're in darkness and you don't know how to get out, you're in debt and you don't know how to get out, you're in sickness and you don't know how to get out, all you got to do is come to Jesus. He's got you out. The seed has done been provided. And that seed is called faith. That seed is called the Word of God. And I challenge you, there's nothing that he can't do. There's nothing that Jesus can't do. And if you're in that place that you don't know what to do, you need to come to Jesus. You need to, right now, confess him as Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, I believe that you are God's Word. You are God's Son. And if you'll put faith in Jesus, if you'll put faith in him, he'll bring you up out of that darkness. He'll bring you up out of that debt. And he'll put on you his robe of righteousness. And the whole world will know that there's a God, because the whole world knew you before Christ. And once you get born again, you're going to be a new creation. Religion's not going to change it. Jesus will change it. If you've been relying on some man's religion, you need to repent and change your mind and do what the Word says. Get born again. Amen. You get born by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. That's what we're preaching here. That's what we preach at this church. If you've heard this message and you don't know how to get born again, I'll tell you how. You just call on the name of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And if you put your faith in Him, He'll come and He'll manifest. He'll bring life into your life. And then you'll be hungry to go find life. You'll be hungry to go find a church that you got to have life. Amen. And you will bring life after that kind. Sickness will have to leave. Poverty will have to leave in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now there's a seed time. You don't have to wait to get born again. That time's done taken place. That was over 2,000 years ago. But you're going to have to give God a little bit of time in your life to get your life straightened out. One thing is, you need to, the people you were calling friends, you need to leave behind, and you need to follow Jesus, and then Jesus will give you new friends. He'll give you a church family that loves you and cares about you. And then God might send you back to those friends that are lost so they can get found. He might send you somebody named Leo Munger that will find you and preach the gospel to you and take you fishing and get you born again. You might think he's just taking you fishing, but he's really fishing for your soul. I'm talking about Leo Munger. God saved him, delivered him, set him free. He's serving at this church, and he's hungry for souls. Amen. And there's some souls that's going to be found. I just talked one name, but there's many names in this church that people are hungry for souls. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this message, for the seed. And we thank you, Lord, that seed, your seed, is going to bring forth life. Lord, you're going to bring people into this church that need to hear about life, and that more abundantly. They need to hear about the Zoe, the God kind of life that brings forth increase, that brings forth salvation, that brings forth relationships back together. Now, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just lift you up today, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting your mighty working power in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for bringing peace to our minds today, Lord. This is the day, Lord, and we give our day, we give our lives to you. And Lord, we know this month in our nation there's a lot of evil being portrayed, there's a lot of darkness being portrayed, but Lord, we just thank you for the light. That, Lord, we're going to bring people light, and we're going to bring them into the light. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for manifesting yourself in these dark days, Lord, filling us with your glory and power. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the boldness to release our faith. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.